today we're going to be doing the 117th Psalm while introducing the 118th. Tradition has it that there are as many chapters of Tehillim as there were years in Yaakov Avinu's life. But Yaakov Avinu lived 147 years, and there are 150 chapters of Tehillim. We have in the past seen Tehillim that are actually put together. You can see that they're actually one long song that was divided. Mm-hmm. Remember that the division of chapters as we know them today come from the Christian sources. The notion that you have 150 psalms will be belied, as you will soon see. Perek Kuf Yud Zayin, the 117th psalm, seems to stand on itself, maybe, or according to some, it is connected to the one that came before, or according to some, it is connected to what comes right after, but not entirely. And there's differences in the way that it's done in the Siddur than the way it is done in your Sefer Tehillim, primarily because the Siddur tries to mimic our tradition that we know about how Hallel was sung in Beit HaMikdash in Beit Sheni. The Tosfos tells us that the 117th Psalm is not a psalm on its own. The Meiri, writing in the 14th century, tells us in our books the 117th Psalm is the end of the 116th. And also argues that the first four verses of 118 belong as part of 116. According to the Rambam, 117 and 118 are one mizmor, Tehillim, and that is the mesoret of some of Temanite Jews who don't follow the Shulchan Aruch, but follow the Rambam Piske Halacha. This is the shortest mizmor, and in fact the shortest chapter in the entire Tanakh, of two verses only. You see that there is no introduction, doesn't say Mizmor LeDavid, doesn't tell you who the author is, there's no connection, which is why people would like to be able to connect it to the earlier ones, but then the earlier ones don't have Iktovet either. They don't have anything on top. Let's look at this a minute. Radak views the integrity of the 117th Psalm as two verses, as in itself a, if you like, a symbol. In other words, he believes that verse 1 is on one side and verse 2 is on the other side. And if that's the case, let's talk about it, what we mean. Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim, shabchuhu kol ha'umim. And he doesn't even differentiate between these yet. He's saying, if you look at the first phrase, it is a call on all of the other nations to come and praise God. When would we do this? L'yimot HaMashiach, when the rest of the world will come to recognize that there is only one God, and they will accept upon themselves the seven mitzvot of Bnei Noach. They don't need to convert to become Jews. It is sufficient for them to accept the seven laws of Noach. And they will come together to join, what? Ki gavar aleinu chasdo, because his chesed was greater for us. And who is us? Us on the other side, the Jews. So I am calling on the rest of the world to come and praise God. And why will they do that? Why will they finally come to join with us in this great big song? They will do it because of the Rebbeinu Shlomo's great chesed to us, b'yemot HaMashiach. Ki gavar aleinu chasto, and they will see at that time ve'emet Hashem le'olam, and his truth or his faithfulness, the keeping of the promise is there forever. Contrary, says the Radak, to the church's position, that the old covenant is no longer valid, and the promises made have been null and void, and it had the new chosen people are the Christians. You understand? So he's writing about this in the context of being surrounded with the disputations with the Franciscans and so on. And furthermore, he looks at the word at the end, that last closing word, Hallelujah, as two words, the way the Amoraim saw it. Mm-hmm. You remember there's Tanaim, they were the people that wrote the Mishnah. Amoraim were those that wrote down the Gemara. The Amoraim saw the word Hallelujah as two words, Hallelujah, two separate words. The way it sometimes appears, two separate words. Hallelu et Hashem, hallelu ka. And now, all together, other nations and us joining together, hallelu ka. That's the way he views it. Very, very simple. Rashi concurs. But our question is, who is Aleinu? Aleinu. I know we say Aleinu, le shaber. Ki gavar Aleinu. Here we have the dispute. The dispute occurs that Aleinu is Aleinu, us the Jews alone, or is Aleinu all of us? In other words, I'm calling on the Goyim and the Umim to join with us, for his chesed has been Aleinu, on all of us together. Is this then a universal? Well, let's look carefully. Is there a difference between Goyim and Umim? We talked about this in the past. Now, I told you that Radak and some of the Pashtanim treat this as just saying the same thing with different words. Why? For the sake of emphasis, right? And wherefore, what's the difference between Hallel? It's the same thing as Leshabeach. Aleinu leshabeach ladon nakol, right? And you know, no, it means the same thing. It means to sing his praises. It means to sing his songs. You understand? It means to raise him up, exalt him. That's what it really means, and we don't have to go in there. And Radak says that. Kefel ha'inyan b'milim shonot. That's it. Comes the Medrash and cites the Gemara and tells us as follows. Sha'al Rabbi Shimon b'no shel Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh is Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. That was the person who had gone and canonized the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. His son asked him, Mihem, Mihem kol ha-goyim, Mihem kol ha-umim. Who is it? It doesn't just say goyim, it says kol goyim. Kol ha-umim. Who are they? And he answered him, the goyim are those that oppressed and enslaved the Jews. The umim are those that did not. And so he is joining two sides. Those that persecuted us and those that didn't will then join together. Why? Comes Ibn Ezra and tells us in the name of Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe is a commentary grammarian from the 10th century, mm-hmm. about 100, 150 years prior to his life. He says, because they will come to recognize that the Jew was eternal after all, and that the Torah was true after all, when? B'yemot HaMashiach, when they will see God's great chesed, aleinu, only for, so the Jew is inviting those that persecuted us, Germans, right? Those that didn't persecute us, together, they will, together, all humanity will come back to the Hashem. Malbim differentiates differently. He says that Umot is a religious, and he's consistent in this, Umot is religious and cultural. In the United States, you have one goy, right, citizens of one political unit. Mm-hmm. So a goy is a political military unit. Mm-hmm. What we would think of as a sovereign nation. But umot are different ethnic and cultural groups within sometimes in one nation, or they unify two nations. Mm-hmm. So I can have Spaniards and Italians unified by a common either language or religion mm-hmm. or worldview, mm-hmm. right? And I could look at it that way. Mm-hmm. Or I could look at it as the United States being a multiple ethnic, multi-ethnic, mm-hmm. but one goy. So I would look at, for example, at Germany and Austria as one Ummah, being Germanic, but being two goy. Rabbi Shimshon Refael Hirsch follows a similar idea, but says that the word Ummah comes from the word Em, mother, and therefore indicates a common ethnicity. And he agrees that a goy is a political or a military association. Hence, lo yisagoy el goy cheret. Mm-hmm. You understand? One nation will not lift the sword against another nation. So in that sense, a goy can also mean an alliance. It's not necessarily one sovereign unit, but it would be the allies and the axis. And as long as they have, if you like, a common goal, a common enemy, and a cooperation. So you might think about the European Union. That would be one approach that we would take it. Ki gavar aleinu chasto, and then comes the word ve'emet. And the emet of Hashem, says the Meiri, you see, they will all praise him, ki, because, not when, because the word ki can serve as also kasher. So if I treat it the other way, it would say they will all praise him, they will all sing him when kasher gavar aleinu chasdo, when God's great love will be overwhelming, will overwhelm us, and then they will see the emet Hashem leolam, and that his truth, meaning his Torah, says the Meiri, can't be abridged or can't be overridden by a New Testament. There is only one emes, Torah's emes, and it is leolam. And its laws survive forever and are functional forever. Okay? If we look at that case, how many groups do we have here? We've got goyim, we have umim, and we have the Jews. That's one position, right? Another position is simply the one that wants to read this as a universal one, says, I don't have three different groups. I have one group. All humanity joined together to do this. Which position you would take would be determined how you read the next four lines of Kuf Yud Chet. Mm-hmm. Now, that becomes the question, is this one song? Or is this not the song, okay? Rashbam takes an approach as follows. All the nations of the world will sing to him. All of them will praise him. And we, how much more so? Ki gavar aleinu chasdo, because against all odds, we survived. So he treats the word ki not as because, not as when, but even more so. Al achat kama v'kama davar aleinu chasdo. So that the Ribbono Shel Olam's chesed was actually for the entire world. But for ours, even more so. Ibn Ezra takes the approach that they will sing with us because God's chesed will become apparent not only to the Jews and not only because of the things that he did for the Jews, but because of the things that he will do for the rest of the world as well. So you see, we're having here the issue about whether universal or not. But if that's the case, Ibn Ezra seems to be taking away from the word aleinu. Because when you're saying kol goyim and you're calling out to them, you're speaking to them. It should say ki gavar aleichem chasdo, not ki gavar aleinu. If it's because God's love was apparent to everyone, I call on them and say, come all you nations and join me. Come all of you peoples and join me. For God's chesed was on you. And it doesn't. It says, for God's chesed was on us. Amos Chacham in Daf Mikra says, oh, you're making too much of a fuss. This was sung at Beit HaMikdash. And there was a vision there of inviting the rest of the world, but it was just a manner of speaking. This was really particularistic. This was only for us. This is only in the shul. I'm telling all the rest of them, you can come and join with me if you want to. I know that you probably won't. The fact of the matter is we're still here. We're singing. That's the way he looks at it. He thinks that it may be a hope that one day that would be the case, but not realistic. Unless I look at the next line. Perek Yutret is seen by some as definitely a unit. Do you remember I told you that there was a position that the first four lines belong with Perek Kuf Yud Zayin, and a position that all of these six verses belong to the previous Mizmor. However, if you look, I underlined you, there is a beginning and an end that are like two bookends. Hoidu Lashem Kitov Ki Le'olam Chasdo. And at the bottom, Hoidu Lashem Kitov Ki Le'olam Chasdo. Tying this together as a Mizmor, you see. So, where does that stand? How would we have that? But, you could argue the same thing, that you can take all of Hallel and say that many places it begins with the word Hallelujah and ends with the word. And does that serve as the bookends? Is that the beginning and the end? Or is that merely a refrain in between? How is this read in other places? Says the Rambam, the way it used to be read was as follows. At the beginning of every section, you read a line, and guess what the whole choir did? Said it right after you. And in many Sephardi communities, they do exactly that. And therefore, this becomes, if you like, the refrain that's there for the audience. And the last hoidu is not merely a bookend that ties this together, but might actually be the opening of the next one. So we don't have to have it either way. But watch carefully what I do in the first four verses. Hoidu l'Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. I'm calling on no one specifically. I'm telling everyone, thanks Hashem for His good and His love. His loving kindness, the outpouring is forever. And I'm calling on no one specific. I'm just calling to tell somebody to do so. But then I turn specifically to a group. I want you to imagine that you are in a stadium. And the loudspeaker tells everybody, Hoidu l'Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. What was the natural thing to do? Repeat the line. Now I turn to this section, and I say, Yomar na Yisrael. And you see how it became singular? Not Yomu, Yomar na. And what's na? No. Now, he's not so polite.
Oh, okay.
Now. Because the word na has a double entendre. Ana Hashem Hoshia na. Please, God, help save us. Now. And you can also eat meat that is na. Na means raw. Straight off the hook, right, immediately before you had a chance to overcook it. Schnell! No problem. So what I do is, I say, Yomar na! And I say it in singular, because I view Am Yisrael as
one.
Right? Vayamod ha'am betachtit ha'ar. The nation stood. We are one nation. Yomar na Yisrael! What are they supposed to call out? Ki le'olam chasda. Yomru na bnei Aharon. Now I have a differentiation. Now they're banim and they're plural. Yomru na beit Aharon. Who am I calling on? Kohanim. Yomru na. So who's saying this? Because who's not here? The Devim. Who was singing this? The Levim were singing this. So the Levim are the choir, and the choir calls out, Hoydul Hashem Kitov Ki Le'olam Chasdo. They then turn to Yisrael, which is all the tribes used together as one. You understand? Ki Le'olam Chasdo. Yomruna Beit Aaron. And he turns now to the Kohanim. Ki Le'olam Chasdo. Yomruna Yirei Hashem. And now I turn to Yirei Hashem. Pray tell, who's Yirei Hashem? It could be the Geirim. But if they're a Geirim, a Ger, Ki Yisrael Nechshav.
Right.
He's not different from any Israel.
Like a Tosha, someone who's not a Jew, but someone who...
So somebody who's accepted the Sheva Mitzvot, right. Bnei Noach. But if I just read what I did beforehand, who am I calling Yirei Hashem? All the Goyim and all the Umim that came and joined us. So I am calling the Goyim. You will remember that Hordus and many of the Romans used to bring offerings. Now for them it wasn't a problem. Why? Because if you have a lot of gods, so what's one more? You understand? No, big deal. You know, you hedge your bets. But Yirei Hashem is people who don't accept the other gods. It's people who've only accepted one, such as Umkulus, such as other that were Romans but accepted
one God.
And eventually some of them converted, right? And some of them didn't. They were simply God-fearing, good people, good people. Ah, if that's the case, I'm turning Yomunai Yirei Hashem. Ki le'olam chasto. So what happens now to the next part of the poem? Is it the Levim singing it? Would you say that the next part is at all the Levim? There is a solo. It's all the story of one person. Minna meitzar karati. You understand? This is a one person. It may be one person speaking on behalf of a
group,
but it is a solo. It is a solo, and it is, in fact, now the question is who it is. But do you understand that here, the first two lines of Kuf Yud Zayin and the fourth four lines of Kuf Yud Chet are clearly being sung by a group, a choir, that is calling on everybody else. You see that. And now comes a song of a particular person, completely, completely not connected to what is there. The voice is completely different. And we don't have enough time to be able to do all of this. I will look at the first part of it, and we will, Emil Tashem, finish the rest of it next time we meet. Min ha-meitzar karatika. In this context of calling on everybody to sing God's praises, to speak about how He's good and how His love is eternal, comes one voice that comes and says, I called out His name, Min HaMeitzar. Tzar is a tight place, a vise. Either it is a person being kept in stocks, a person in a prison, a person in a tight place. Anani, and he answered me, Bamelchaka. Why do I need to put the word ka, yud, hey, twice? Karatika, anani, Bamelchaka. So some simply say, oh, because of emphasis, right? Just for that. Maybe it was nothing else. Ibn Ezra says it's just part of the beauty of the language and the wanting to say God's name over and over and over again. Hadaki Mitzudot say, I called on him from my tight places, from the troubles that I was in. You see the word tzarot, tzar, meitzar, it's the same. And I, Milz Hashem, will try to remember to bring you a book called Min HaMeitzar, which is a collection of poems and songs that were written during the Shoah, in the camps and in the ghettos. In various languages, primarily in Yiddish, but some in Polish, some in Yiddish. Do you understand? And how appropriate, because Min HaMeitzar Karatia, I called him. Anani, he answered me. How? By bringing me Bamelchav. If that's the case, there is a word missing. There is a word missing. Anani, he answered me in the expanse. Is that where he answered you? He answered you by pulling you out. It seemed that he didn't answer me when I called him in Amesa. He didn't call me. I knew that he heard me when I finally was rescued. That's what my being rescued, my coming out into the wide space as opposed to the tight space, showed me that he answered me. But possibly the word Ka, Shem Hashem, is repeated twice because the author, your singer, your solo, is telling you that the Ribbono Shel Olam was with him then as he was with him later. He was with him then, and it became apparent only because of the fact that he was then rescued. He would not have been rescued if he survived. It means that God had heard him. And so he turns out that the Ribbono Shel Olam was with him. That's what Chazal tell you, Imo Anochi Betzara, I am with him in his troubles. He may not see my face. He doesn't know that I hear him, but I'm there with him the entire time. But to the sufferer, it only becomes clear that the Ribbono Shel Olam heard you when it's all over. Then in retrospect, I can see that he was with me in my troubles as well as with me now that I've come out. And now, that was the past. Hashem li. Hashem is mine. Right? Dodi li. Ani le dodi ve dodi li. There's an issue that he is mine. He's mine. He's faithful to me and he's mine. Lo ira. So I shall never fear in the future because of what happened in the past. Maya seli adam. What can mere man do to me? There is a rule. Adam means any human being. He Adam is a Jew. Adam ki yakriv, Chazal on the Tzfat, beginning when you open up Vayikra, Adam ki yakriv umot haolam. Any human being wants to bring a korban is Adam. Ha Adam. So you know that that was used as a canard in the very famous trial of Bayliss in Russia. Tsarist Russia, where he was accused, right? Was the last, one of the last blood libels. And they, all of Jews across the world, mounted a defense. And one of the questions that was asked, isn't it true that in your books it is written, Atem Koim Ha'adam, Ve'ena Goim Koim Ha'adam. Is it true that you are not called, that only, that your writings say, only you are called human? And the goy is not called human, and that's why you are willy-nilly willing to kill him. You understand the accusation that you don't deem, you deem yourself a cut above Ha'adam. And the great answer that was given is, you see, there are words that have plural, and there's words that don't have plural in Hebrew. There's words that only have plural in Hebrew and don't have singular. Shamayim, Nayim, there's no singular for it. Ha'adam is singular. What's the plural of Adam? There isn't any. You can say Ish and Nashim, right? Isha, Nashim. But there is no plural for Adam. Because only the Jew can be Daniel Pearl dying right at the sword. He didn't even know that he was Jewish, right? That one over there. The moment that a Jew is in trouble. And he said, don't you see, all of Jews from America, from Europe, from all over, have come here in defense of Mendel Bayliss. Because Atem, a Jew, is called Ha'adam, because we are singular. Now you'll understand why it said, Yomana Yisrael, in singular. Makes no difference where you came from. This is not what tribe. If you're a Gael, Yisrael. Yisrael, and you're part of one. You are spoken to in singular. You are one. B'meile, he says, Maya seli adam doesn't mean what will the goy do to me? Mm-hmm. What can he do to me? Well, man, he can do plenty, can't he?
Oh, yeah.
What can he do to me? He can do one thing. He can kill me, but he can't kill my people, of which I am part of. He can kill me as an individual, but I as a collective? B'meila, this singular is not singular at all. It's Am Yisrael, or the Chazan, speaking for all of us. Says Rashi, the speaker is Knesset Yisrael. It's the collective of Israel. Minameitzar karatiya. Anani b'merchavya. Now that I came out on the other side, I see that he was actually hearing me. He answered me later, but he heard me all along. He's mine, and I do not fear, for what can man do to me? I'm not afraid, not because I don't think that many of us will be killed, but because we are eternal people. Hashem li be'ozrai. Hashem is there for me to be my aid. Ve'ani, and as for me, I will one day, er'eh besonai, I will see in my enemies, and a word is missing, I will see what? Most of your mefarshim say, nekome. Mm-hmm. I will see vengeance amongst my those that hated me, my enemies. I will see the downfall. Do you see how the word is not put there? What will you see? I will live to see the downfall, the vanquishing, the destruction. I will have, and yet why is it not put there? Why is it not put? Why don't we actually indicate? I will see what? Did you see the picture that was last week all over the multimedia? A woman who was 30 years old when she was liberated from Auschwitz.
Oh, yeah.
And she was there with her family, 104 descendants of her in front of the Kotel. Tell me, can I say, Ve'ani er'eh besonai? And I will see my enemies. In other words, in your face. I don't need to see your downfall. I will see my rise, my renaissance. Look at me now. Look at me now, kind of thing. That's what it really means. Tov lachasot b'Hashem. And he says the word tov because he repeated the word hoidu l'Hashem ki tov. And if you have Te'amei Mikra, you will see that over the word tov there is a big dot. Tov. It's good. Even what looks bad is actually good. It's good to find shelter, the Hashem. Says Rashi, shelter lachasot is actually something that's temporary. It's a temporary shelter. But it's better miftoach ba'adam, from having any trust in man. Tov lachasot b'Hashem. It's good to find shelter, however temporary, in God. Miftoach b'nadivim. A nadiv is a generous person, a kind person. Explains Malbim as follows. Man is fickle. Today he says yes, tomorrow he changes his mind. And I promised, but I didn't promise that I'd keep my promise. Right, that very famous line from one of the Israeli politicians. Hiftachti, aval lo hiftachti shekayem. Right, but a nediv is a generous, kind person, and that person is being motivated by morality, by generosity. The problem is that he's merely human, and because he's human, he may want to, but not be able to. He might save a few lives, but he can't save us all. He may have the best of intentions. But the best intentions, as we know, pave the road to hell. So therefore, I can't trust others. Many of our Mefarshim say this is a reference to actual events. When we trusted that they would come to save us. Egypt would come to save us from the hands of the Assyrians. We trusted when this one was going to save us from the hands of the Babylonians. We trusted when we thought the United States was going to save us from the hands of the Nazis. We know exactly what happened there. Yeah. Tov lachasot b'Hashem. Kol goyim svavuni. All these nations surrounded me. B'shem ha-mishem. In the name of Hashem, I will, and now comes the word, what is Amilam? I do something to them. Some say it comes from the word lamul, which means to shrivel. I will shrivel them, dry them up, and they'll be gone. In the name of Hashem. Some say that the word comes from the word malal. I will pray about them, for I will pray about them. Most of our Mefarshim say this is repeated, and look carefully at how it's repeated. Kol goyim svavuni, sabuni gam svavuni, sabuni kidvurim. They surrounded me. So some say bayit rishon. And the second time, bayit sheni. And the third time is bayit shlishi. Sabuni kidvurim, they surround me like so many hornets or bees out to sting me. But what will happen to Bayit Shlishi? This time they won't. Dorachu. Lit'och means a candle that flickers and
sputters out.
Ke'esh kotzim, like a fire in the thorns. Essentially a brush fire. A brush fire spreads. Mm-hmm. It causes devastation. But just as quickly, it's extinguished. They are Mefarshim, though many will die. This is Milchemet Gog u'Magog and the beginning of Atchalta de Geula. They will surround me on all ends, Kidvorim. Dorachu, but they will shrivel and die only after they let out a horrific brush fire, burning the field. What happens after a brush fire? Have you ever been to Yellowstone after the Great Forest Fires? The big fires, the burning fires, pop open those acorns.
Mm.
And guess what happens in a very short time?
New growth.
New growth.
Mm-hmm.
A revival. You thought you got us? I'll show you. So this is actually speaking about this Geula. And why? B'shem Hashem. Yamilam. So in the name of Hashem, I continue to daven, or from the shame of Hashem, I will shrivel them up. And I will still be here. They thought they burned me up completely. Those little seedlings now, I'm going to start all over again. It won't happen. So what I have here is, according to some, do'ahu is a transitive verb. It means something you do to somebody else. And Mitzudat David therefore says, Doahu, they extinguished, they crushed many like a fire in the thorns.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did. You understand? To us. That's the goyim, shesavuni. Sabuni kidvorim. And like those dvorim, Doahu, they did it to me. Others say, Doahu is a poal omed, a non-transitive verb, and it means they are extinguished. Like a brush fire in the weeds, because it burns hard. And they say, Af shesalfu halbe mi'itanu, though they burned many of us, we rise up for another day.